I'm very sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon. I'm an alcoholic. So, with you tonight with my sponsor hero that you're going to hear after the break. Thank you for allowing me to share a little bit of experience, strength, and hope with you. And thanks, Hero, for bringing me. I love Sundays because I get to be Hero's road dog. We get in the car. We're driving somewhere to go speak, and I get to do my step work in the car. It's great. And then we call another sponsee, too, and she gets to do it, too. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a home group. It's the Bellflower Big Book Group in Long Beach. My sponsor is Hero. He knows he's my sponsor. I have to call him twice a day. I have a sobriety date, and I have to say just real quickly for tonight, this is not my first sobriety date. I've been sober in AA twice before with quite a bit of time, and so I hope what I can do is impart to you, you know, what it was like. I think I can cover that in a couple of minutes, and then what happened and what it's like now. So if you are new, we have our two, Dan and Frisil? Fezza, I'm sorry. I said it wrong. But welcome, welcome, welcome. And I hope that you guys keep coming back and hang on to your scene. Because I have lost everything, and I'll get into a little bit about that, so please stay. It's nice to see a room full of people, really, really is. You know, I'll just hit right to it. Somebody, you know, go like that, because I love to talk. Yeah, he will, okay. I do sales for a living, and I can talk to you guys all night, and here I'll go, no, please don't do that. What it was like. So right from the gate, I mean, stats, I'm from the East Coast, I grew up in Maryland, I'm 59 years old, I'm divorced, and I have a 15-year-old son who is not speaking to me right now, and that breaks my heart. But he is not speaking to me because of the decisions I have made in Alcoholics Anonymous, in drinking and sober. Not really, really great decisions made. So just, you know, quickly, I've always been an alcoholic. There was no passing the line. You know, the first time I drank, I was like, give me more. It was a screwdriver. My mom and my stepdad had a party. She married the man, my guy, Don Draper, and that's what that was like. You know, it was a constant revolving doors of parties, and I was 12 years old when I had that drink, and I drank every chance I could get. You know, it was the time we were going to high school, and we were, remember, we'd mix everything. The parents' liquor cabinet, you know, creamed and mint and whiskey, and it was awful concoction. But I barely got out of high school. Could have gone to college, didn't. Wanted to come to L.A. with my drummer rock star boyfriend, and I did. And oh, that we don't have enough time for that story. But I will say, I'll just say, I always drank way too much. It wasn't pretty. I always blacked out. I always fell off bar stools. Sometimes I'd wake up with somebody and go, who are you? And sometimes I wouldn't. You know, with me, with alcohol, I have no idea what's going to happen. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. You know, during recent years, you know, I was telling you this on the way back, I could drink a half of a Mike's Hard can and be completely in a blackout. There would be times I could drink a whole bottle of whiskey and not feel it, you know. And so that's the kind of alcoholic I am. I'm the real alcoholic. I'm a tornado. I am restless, irritable, discontent. I maybe look kind of nice and sweet up here, but I am a liar, a cheat, and a thief. I will rob people of their time, their peace, and just their sanity. People worry about me. You know, I've got a family back east that does nothing but worry about me. I've got a son who worries about me and is so angry right now with me, he won't talk to me. But I have this disease, and I've had time, as I said, in this program. So hopefully you guys get a picture. That's what it was like for me. It's never, ever pretty. Ever. It's never been glamorous. Ever. And so, and I've been sober 36 of my 59 years. Now listen, I want to be really clear. AA does work if you work it and you don't do the half measures, okay? Because what happens to me is I'm a corporate Kathy. I am a perfectionist. I want to get the A and AA and Al-Anon, by the way. I'm in that too. But this is not Al-Anon. And so, and I'm a people pleaser. I heard Bailey talking about that over there. Yeah. And I want you to like me. And I'm always thinking five steps ahead. I got plan A through Z. And I always want to get there. I never know where there is. But I know it's better than where I am now. Right? And I always wanted, well, when this happens, I'll do this. When this happens, I'll tell you, I've had a great life most of the time when I was sober. When I have not been actively drinking, I have done workaholism. I have done shopping. I have done the boys. Yes, I've done that too. You know, I've done the exercise thing. I have a God-shaped size, empty hole right here. And I have to fill it with something or I drink. Right? And I don't want to drink, but that's what I'm wired to do. I need the ease and comfort, right, that we get from the first drink. And I can fill it with other things real quick. During my 18-year run, I was in the middle of a home group that was very, very active. And I am a good yes girl. I am a good yes girl. Yes, calling my sponsor, doing the steps I think I can, but I am dishonest by omission. Sometimes I don't always tell the truth. Sometimes I got little secrets, right? And I gotta tell you, you know, before I got sober out of fear, really jail, I don't do good in jail. I just don't, you know, before I know it, the Latina girls have to take care of me and wipe my tears and give me their coffee money. And I don't do good in jail. I'm not cut out for that. I'm really not. And so I think I just realized that today. You know, I have run on fear, getting sober out of fear. I did get sober. Well, maybe I did for my family. Thank God I have my family. They are still talking to me. And they're like, honey, you just keep getting up and trying because you have, yeah, Belle. Oh, they still talk to me. But my son, the little Dickens, he's 15. But I think I have done self-sufficiency will kill me. I talked about that at dinner. Self-sufficiency will kill me. And I don't know that I'm doing it. Thank you. I don't know that I'm doing it. I have to be really close, like talking to Hero twice a day, sometimes three, for him to know what's going on with me. I really do because I'm sneaky. My alcoholism is sneaky, and it wants me dead. And while I think, you know, I'm getting my big life, and I'm getting, you know, I got married when I was 5 years sober, and I got the baby when I was 15 years sober, and then life started happening. It was all cool until he was little because I could bring him around everywhere. But when he got to, he never crawled. He just, like, went from the seat up to a full run. So, and I've been chasing after him ever since. Thank you. And if I don't make AA a priority, I am dead. And I have, I mean, people are really, I have lost my best friends. I have lost jobs. I have lost, my ex-husband isn't even talking to me either. We kind of go back and forth though. We met in AA and we always had this pact. If one of us went out, we know what to do. You know, it's the tough level. He went a little too tough. You know, he took me to divorce court, and I'm telling, he's a lawyer, I am not, although I try. I'm in sales. It's kind of the same thing. Kind of. You know, I'm doing deals at Raytheon and Amazon, and he's trying to get some guy off death row. But we had a lot of fun for a while doing that until we didn't. And, you know, yeah, so everything is gone, man. Everything. I went from living in Rancho Palos Verdes for 14 years, and now I'm in San Pedro in a studio apartment, and man, have I been, like, humbled. I have no job. I have no money. No money. I have to ask for rides to my meetings in Long Beach, and I don't want to. I don't want to. And sometimes I'll sneak out with my car. Here's like, Sharon, you're crying because you got to call your dad every 2 weeks and asking for money. That was not my story before. I was giving out the money, taking people on trips, and it's just very different. And all I want to say is this, that my experience now, it's looking different, and I hope it continues to. I really, really, really do, because this is a nasty, gnarly disease. And it takes lives, and it takes sanity, and it affects everyone, everyone it affects. And the only thing I can think of is maybe I wasn't desperate enough. You know, I hope everybody in here has had the gift of desperation. I've had that high level, you know, they call it, but I think we don't have to go there. But for me, I've been trying to figure out why I have to do this again, and I am done. But, you know, I just stick around, or if you're sitting with some time and you're kind of neglecting the meetings or not talking, I suggest you do. You don't want to be where I'm at right now. But I am happy to be here. So thank you.